In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, tonight we will continue with our reading of Adam. Do we have a reading tonight?
Yes. June 4th, 1929, Volume 26. My daughter, what is done in my divine will remains dissolved in it. Just as light and heat are inseparable. And if the light is extinguished, the heat also is extinguished. And if is given life to the light by its own nature, the light makes the life of the heat arise together with it. In the same way, the acts of the creature done in it are inseparable from my volition. More so, since it is not subject to becoming extinguished, because it is eternal and immense light. This is why, though Adam went out of my will when he sinned, his acts remained in it. He was able to detach himself from his own acts, but his acts done in my will could neither go out nor detach themselves, because they had already formed their life of light and of heat within it. What enters into my will loses its own life in it. It forms one same life with it. It loses the rights to go out. And my will says, these acts have been done in my house, within my light. The rights are mine, and there is no power, either human or divine, which can make an act done by the creature in my will to go out of it and separate from it. This is why the acts of Adam done in it before he sinned are there present as prime act on which depend the creation and the acts of the human generations. Now, suppose that you went out from within my will. You go out and remain outside, but your acts do not go out. They neither have the right to go out, nor can they do it. And as long as you remain in my will, your acts are mine and yours. But if you go out, you lose the rights. And because they were done in the kingdom of my divine will and not in the human will, they remain as my rights, even though they appear and are known as having been done by you. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Okay. I think one of the things that we have to remember is that is by looking at the book of Adam and looking at all the writings about Adam, we want to be able to understand also what the church teaches. You know, the church is always telling us that we have to be in the state of grace, that we have to be in the state of grace. And even through the liturgical calendar, the church is always inviting us to do penance, to fast, to be in the state of grace, to go to confession. And that's part of the teaching. And by looking at the book of Adam, I hope you are able to see that here it is not only to be in the state of grace, but to go to the original state of grace and holiness in which we were created. This is the call for all of us. And by looking at all these writings of Adam, I hope you're able to see that this is really what God wants us to have, to return to the original state of grace in which we were created. And by looking at Adam, we try to understand what was he doing, what was his life like in that state of grace, and why it's so important for us to be able to understand through the book of Adam the whole gift of living in the divine will. One of the things here that our Lord is telling us is about the acts that Adam did while he was in that state of grace. Many of the questions that people ask often is that, what about the acts of Adam? What about those acts that he did while he was in union with the will of God, while he remained in that state of grace in which he was created? Remembering that he only had to remain in there. Yes, he was tested, and he needed to be tested in order to be confirmed later into that gift, but he lost the gift. So the Lord explains here very clear that all those acts that Adam did, and everything that is done in union with the will of God, it goes basically to all eternity. It transcends. It goes from the physical world into the spiritual, into the eternal mode. That all those acts that are done in the divine will, they remain there. They don't, in a way, they don't belong to us anymore. Because remembering that the will of God is one eternal present also. So you always have the ability and the chance to say, no, I don't want to continue living this way. But those acts that are done in the divine will, they are already there forever and ever, praising, adoring, glorifying God. And if you look at the life of the Blessed Mother, that's why she is the new Eve, because even though she possessed the gift of the divine will operating in her soul by grace, she always had the opportunity and the freedom to say no. So the merit of the Blessed Virgin Mary is that she was able to remain always there to say yes. And she experienced the same things that we experience. This is very important for us to understand that that's the merit, that while we try to live in this way, we still are in this human world, in our humanity. And that's the merit for us to be able to overcome that and to say at every moment, yes, I want to live in this way. Yes, I want to be in union with you, Lord. I want to give you my acts of all this day and tomorrow, and always do the prevenient, the actual act. And our Lord mentions also, not in this passage, but in other passages from the Book of Heaven, that what we will experience is from the inside, that we may not be able to say, well, this person is living in union with the divine will, or this person knows about the gift of the divine will. Hopefully, it can be show through us, but for the most part, this is the interior life of our Lord Jesus. Nobody knew what the Blessed Mother possessed. And she lived a normal, an ordinary life. We see in the Bible that, for example, when the Blessed Mother received the message from the angel, she was confused. She, in a way, doubted, and she said, how
Stage
can
one
this be?
three, stage 117000.
In a way, We see that she lived an ordinary life through the Gospels, and that's a perfect example that she doubted a little bit. She was confused. She didn't know what the Lord was going to bring this about. And after she consented and everything was explained to her, she accepted. So this, to be in union with the will of God, is not that we are going to go back to the state, the physical place where Adam was created. When I say that this is the call for us to go back to the original state of grace and holiness, meaning to live the way the saints live in heaven. And how do the saints live in heaven? They live immersed in God's will. That means that for us to live the life of heaven here and the life that Adam was living before the fall is to be immersed in God's will at every moment. It doesn't mean that we are not going to encounter difficulties, that we are not going to encounter trials and things like that. And it's very important for us to understand, because sometimes there is a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of statements that have been said somewhere else. And I know that people, they have a lot of, they have goodwill and they have good intentions, but sometimes when people, they say, or they, yeah, they make statements that they sound very nice about living in the divine will and everything, but they have no theological foundation. When they have no theological foundation, it's only said out of feelings and sentiments, it is very dangerous. Let me give you an example. Well, all that we do in union with the will of God, our Lord Jesus explains in this passage that he's been taken basically into the realm of the eternal. Forever, God takes those acts. And those acts done in the will of God in our humanity, he's able to transform, basically to give our acts the value of his own acts. Basically, we lend him our humanity through our yes, so he can repeat his life in us. Everything that he did, he's able to repeat it in us. That's the Catechism 521. So look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was able to, first of all, he became human. So he was able to breathe, to palpitate, to eat. He was, in a way, he was afraid. He felt the fear. We see that in the garden of being all this, the horror of all the sins. He wept when Lazarus died. He wept. He felt pity for the people, the gospel tells us, right? In a way, he worried, the Blessed Mother worried. But that in itself is not a sin, and is not something, that's why he's able to operate in those aspects of our life. So the problem is what do we do with those things? Do we let that fear overcome us, or do we say, well, I do not understand, but I give my will to the Lord, like the Blessed Mother did? Well, I don't understand it, but let it be done to me according to your word. And this is a very simple way to live in a very ordinary life, to live the divine will. It's not that we are going to change from one day to another, because this is not magical. In the first volume, there is a passage where the Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta, he tells her, if I let basically the demons torment you, and I gave them permission to touch you, is so that after you fight your vices with the opposite virtues, then you will find yourself in possession of those virtues that you thought you didn't have. And then I will come and I will confirm you in those virtues so that you can possess my will. It's very clear there that it is by fighting our sinful inclinations with the opposite virtues, or tendencies with the opposite virtues, is that we are going to come into the possession of these virtues. And then after we possess those virtues in us, then he will be able to confirm us into this gift. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 1831 all the way to 1845 tells us about these virtues, and it calls them, the Catechism gives the name of, let me see, I'm forgetting the word. These are preparations. This is the way we prepare our souls. And dispositions. So in the Book of Heaven, our Lord tells us, Epicarata, you have to have those dispositions. So we find out that those dispositions
we need to pause here. Father, your sound went out.
Actually, and because we read these private revelations apart, not in union with the teachings of the church, and we see that our Lord Jesus, when he's teaching Luisa Picarreta, is in union exactly with what the church has been teaching. So if we want for us to happen the same thing that happened in the soul of Adam when he was in the state of grace, we have to learn what Luisa was doing. And what was he doing? She was being formed by our Lord Jesus, basically through the doctrine of the church. So what we have to do, if we want for us to happen, the same thing that happened, the transformation that happened in the soul of Luisa, that she was able to arrive to the possession of the will of God operating in her soul in this earth, we have to walk the same path. Luisa, because that's her mission, to write all this down and to be formed so that through her we are formed. Even in the Book of Heaven, Luisa Picarreta goes and our Lord Jesus shows her that moment of Adam being in the state of grace so that she will understand the gift. So for us, once we do our acts in the divine will, that's those acts, our Lord Jesus tells us through this writing, they are forever there. They are being stored. It comes to mind the gospel that tells us, store for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is the way to store for us treasures in heaven for us. The human acts in union with the divine will. And where is the merit for us? The merit is that while we are here and we may not see it, we may not even feel it, we may not feel anything, the merit for us is to remain in union. That's called faith. Adam was able to see, to experience it, to live it. He was able to experience it, even through his senses. we are not able to experience all of that, but we are called to live it. And that's the merit for all of us, as the merit of the Blessed Mother, that she was able to remain always in union since the moment of conception till her Assumption. And for Luisa Picaretta, her merit is to be able to learn how to live in this way and then to remain in that union. So for us, it's the same, that through these writings, we may understand the gift that God wants to restore to us, that the sacrifice of Jesus is only a preparation for us to receive the gift that we lost. That we may think that, okay, Jesus died for us. He resurrected. He went into heaven. That's it. All of that is only a preparation for us to receive this gift. This gift is the completion. This is the completion. This is what will make us complete while we are here, that we don't have to wait. So with that understanding and with that knowledge, we have to make an effort to constantly be in that union, to do our acts and also to read. To read the Book of Heaven a little by little. You don't have to read the whole thing in one day or 1 week or 1 month, but just make it part of your spiritual life. Make it part of your spiritual progress and in union with the teaching of the church. I just show you how the Lord brings this to Luisa Picaretta and the need, and explains to her why it is needed, right? Basically, she's been tested too. And once she's tested, she founds herself in the possessions of the virtues, reigning in her, basically restoring what Adam possessed in the state of grace. Basically restoring what he lost. Let me bother you again with the catechism. And in the catechism in 377, the church says that the first man, hold on, it said 376, that in the first man, right, Adam, he possessed harmony within himself, basically self-dominion. And then when Adam went out of that union, he experienced the opposite. So we are in that state. Luisa Picaretta finds herself in that state. And then how is our Lord going to bring her into that harmony again, to have self-dominion? He explains, I let the evil one, right, disturb you, so that you may fight all this in you, this division in you with the opposite virtues. And once you are tested, and you may think, oh, I cannot be good, or I have lost all these virtues, he says, then when I see basically that you make that effort, I will come and I will give you full possession of those virtues that you thought you have lost. So that's the way she's been formed, and that's the way the restoration comes about in all of us. So I don't know if you are able to see that through the catechism, through the Book of Heaven, that this is the way we have to walk. And again, those acts now that are done in the divine will, then they will remain for us, for us there. They will constitute our treasure in heaven, and forever will praise God. They are not the once they are done in the divine will, they don't have the power to be lost or anything, because again, in the will of God is one eternal present. One eternal present. Basically, we enter into that mode. And where is the, again, where is the, for us, the merit for us is to be able to remain in that union, even though we don't see it, and we may not even experience anything, which the saints cannot receive new merits, because they already see the whole thing. They don't need faith anymore to believe. They don't need hope. There is nothing else to hope for. They live in the fulfillment. They just need love, as St. Paul tells us. Of all these three gifts, only love remains, because love, to love God forever and ever. So that's what God is inviting us through these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and especially through these writings of Adam, to be able to understand that we can go back to that, to the possession of that gift that he lost, that Jesus has restored for us, and that this is the gift that he has been, he has designed for our, for all of us. The Catechism says that we are predestined. We are predestined. Another word that I often use for to explain that predestination, to help the people understand. Basically, if you exchange the word predestined for the word design, maybe you can understand it better. We are designed to reproduce the image of God, of his son Jesus in us. This is the way we were supposed, we were designed to operate since the beginning, with the will of God in us. And this is the way to recover it. So to receive all that God has created, has done for us, to be able to love him back in the way he deserves to be loved, not with the human love, but with the divine love operating in us once we come to the possession of these gifts. And especially if we talk about loving God, he's the one who enables us. The Bible tells us, I chose you. In baptism, he chose to give us that virtue of love so that we may be able to love him back. Now he has chosen us to give us this gift so that we may love him back out of our free will. We may love him back with his own love. So